Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It certainly is a train wreck worth watching, in my opinion. Maybe it won't play out that way. Maybe this will be the model trade for all NBA franchises to come currently and down the road. But this is yet another reason why I find it harder and harder to stomach the NBA, the current NBA. And this is coming from someone who is in the business that I'm in because of the NBA. I fell in love with basketball when I was an early teen. I started playing it. Then I discovered the Boston Celtics. Now, this is going back to the late 80s, the early 90s, the days of Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the days of the Bad Boys, then Michael Jordan. That's when I cut my teeth on the NBA. That's the game I fell in love with. That's what hooked me and made me want a career in sports broadcasting. And it's always been my dream job to do play-by-play for an NBA franchise. But I don't like today's NBA, and I've never been covert or secretive about it. I tell you why all the time. I can't stand ISO ball. I can't stand constant three-pointers from every angle and every inch of the court. I can't stand jacking it up when there's a better option. I don't like the fact that very few teams even care about moving the basketball. And I really, really don't like the fact that it's no longer a contact sport, that now hand checks are called. Flopping takes place all the time. No, it used to be a sport where you could bang around. I was a power forward. I loved basketball as a contact sport. I would never survive in today's basketball because the rules have changed so much that if you breathe on a player, it can be a foul. And so, of course, that's the way offensive players have tailored their games. There are some exceptions to the rule. The Golden State Warriors, the style of basketball they play, it reminded me of why I fell in love with the game in the first place. I love the ball movement. I love the fact that they can have all five guys on the court touch the basketball and they're always looking for the open shot. They don't care who scores. They don't care who facilitates as long as they get the highest quality and highest percentage shot. And yes, sometimes Steph Curry taking an outrageous three is the highest percentage shot. But they also play defense. Not every franchise in the NBA plays defense. And so over the last 10 years, I've found myself becoming more and more disenchanted with the National Basketball Association. Do I still cover it? Uh-huh. It's my job. But I no longer enjoy it, or I no longer get as captivated by it as I used to. And these trades, where everyone plays with his BFF, is another big reason why. I don't like players and teams orchestrating these power couples and now these power trios. I understand if you're an elite player and you make a lot of money, it's become almost a rite of passage that you either force your way out of town or you force your way into another franchise. But there are cautionary tales. It doesn't always work. It did not work with the Clippers. It did not work with the Rockets last year, when James Harden desperately wanted Russell Westbrook. Those two guys couldn't coexist because they're essentially conjoined twins who've been separated. They do the same thing. And I don't know how it's going to work in Brooklyn. I honestly don't. And I can't stand the way that Harden got what he wanted. It makes him come across as a spoiled brat. And when you hear what Boogie Cousins had to say on his way out of town, you'll recognize it's not just me as a sports talk show host who feels that way. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Good morning to you. It's a Thursday, in case you've lost track. Sometimes I do. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. With every score change during Super Bowl 55, someone wins $50,000 in the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Squares sweepstakes. See rules and enter for free at rocketmortgagesquares.com.
Harden, straight away. Step back for three in the tie. He nailed it. James Harden with 41, and we are even again at 123.
Which is not good enough. We don't obviously chemistry, talent wise, just everything. And it was clear, like I said, these last few games, from the beginning of the game, they were just aggressive. Veteran team, obviously, championship team, and one of the best teams that we have in this league. I love this city. I literally, have done everything that I can. This situation is crazy. It's something that I don't think can be fixed. So, thanks.
That was certainly news to both John Wall and Boogie Cousins, who are part of that Houston locker room. And there's a lot packed into James Harden's comments from Tuesday night. Matt Thomas with the call on the Rockets radio network. And he showed up late. So this is James Harden telling you he's done everything he can. Maybe he's referring to previous years because he's been asking out for a couple of months now. But if he's referring to this season, I assume he means showing up late, not communicating with his coach when he refused to participate in training camp. Then when he does show up, he's out of shape. He's not giving it his all. He's not working on the chemistry with his new teammates, obviously, because they think there's something worth salvaging, and he says it can't be fixed. And continuing to ask for his way out of town, alienating teammates along the way. Well, maybe that was the last straw. The straw that broke the camel's back. I love that cliche. I actually get that one right all the time. But it's so appropriate. He kept piling on and piling on and piling on. And finally, he got his own way. So now he's on his way to Brooklyn. And I don't know how that works either. And so we're asking you, in light of this James Harden trade, he's forced his way out of town. Yay for you, James. Does this change your opinion of the NBA? What do you think about the trade? There are people out there who are anointing the Brooklyn Nets the best team in the NBA right now, before they've played even one game together. Oh, and by the way, we don't even know where Kyrie Irving is, other than Zoom call here and birthday party video there. How can you actually put your threesome together if one member of your triumvirate is nowhere to be found? And when your coach doesn't actually know where his star point guard is.
I haven't had an opportunity to know any new details about Kyrie's situation. So, I'll just rely on, the front office to learn more as we go. And they're the ones I think that are going to do the messaging on that front.
My first thought after I saw the news of this trade on Wednesday is, oh my gosh, I feel so sorry for Steve Nash. This is a two-time NBA MVP who made everyone around him better. Yes, he was a scoring point guard, but he also facilitated. He made sure his teammates were involved. They were better because he was on the court. And now he has to deal with this. And I'm so embarrassed for him. Every single day, multiple times a day, Steve Nash has to answer questions about the whereabouts of Kyrie Irving, and he doesn't know, and he keeps having to admit, I actually don't know where he is. And so how do we even have any assurance that Kyrie, James Harden, and KD, Kevin Durant, will be on the court together? We don't. My only thought is that maybe Kyrie has more incentive to return if he now knows that James Harden is part of the mix. It's After Hours on Amy. No, not on Amy Lawrence. I don't have my own network. Well, there goes the perfect show. No, that was gone a long time ago. Don't let me kid you. I got stuck between It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio and saying my name, which I don't think I'll identify myself now. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter. After Hours CBS is our show Twitter, and then also on our Facebook page. And I've had a variety of responses. So a couple of other thoughts. And I said this back when the trade was proposed. How is there enough shots to go around? And what about Joe Harris, who is this streaky shooter who can get on a tear and can light up the net? What is he supposed to do? Stand in a corner and wait for somebody to notice him? Nobody puts baby in a corner. I mean, what is he supposed to do? There aren't enough shots to go around when Kyrie returns. I'm incredulous. Is this not the same exact thing as Harden and Westbrook in the backcourt together? How is it any different with Harden and Kyrie? They want the same thing, which is the, I'm sorry, I'm pounding the desk. I'm pulling a Nick Saban, which is the same. It's the same game that isn't going to work together unless one of them changes. But what they want is for the ball to go through their hands 95% of the time. What they want is to do the ISO, is to take a guy one-on-one. Now, Kevin Durant is still the best option. He absolutely the best option on that team. He's averaging roughly 30 points per game. I think it's close to 30 points per game. Kyrie was averaging about 27 when he was called away by the voices in his head. No, I don't know where he is. I guess he'll explain when he feels like explaining. And so I don't really understand crowning the Nets the best team in the NBA. Because I still think the Lakers are better. They got a head start. They've had a chemistry and a better rotation that they've been working on. They've got role players who bought in. And let's not forget that they're defending champs. LeBron has done this multiple times. And then I would say, I know Klay Thompson is not playing right now, but I would say that the Warriors triumvirate is still better. They've played together for a long time. Draymond Green doesn't always score, but he does everything else. He's your heart and soul. He's your defensive stopper. Steph Curry's on a tear right now. He clearly is healthy, and his body is in good shape after the months that he took off. Klay Thompson will be back. If KD can come back from a ruptured Achilles, so can Klay Thompson. And he's already walking without crutches, which is great news. So I don't know about anointing them the best in the NBA. But I do know that if Kyrie's not around, it would help them on one end of the court. KD plays defense. James Harden's allergic to defense. But maybe that all changes, right? So I should maybe give them a benefit of the doubt. Maybe it all changes because he's happy now that he's in Brooklyn. Except that part sucks. It does suck. You treat your previous teammates like they're not worth it. But because you're happy and you get what you want, now it's going to be all sunshine and roses. That's crappy. And it's the actions of a spoiled brat. Or as someone said on Facebook, entitled. I don't like to think of all athletes that way because I don't think it's accurate for all athletes. But his actions certainly come across that way. And according to Boogie Cousins, it's actually been a major problem in Houston. I'm proud that Boogie is willing to speak out.
Me personally, I don't feel betrayed at all. My interest in playing with John Wall, to be brutally honest. And with that being said, the disrespect started way before, you know, any interview. Just the approach to training camp, showing up the way he did, the antics off the court. I mean, the disrespect started way before. So this isn't something that, you know, all of a sudden happened, you know, last night. But with that being said, like I said, this is the nasty part of the business. So it is what it is.
Boogie Cousins pointing to another player's actions as antics. I mean, that's saying something. The nasty part of the business. This was his response to James Harden's press conference or press statements on Tuesday night. And John Wall had a similar reaction too. He said, if not everyone wants to buy in, well, of course you're going to have chemistry issues.
I just feel like it's a way about, you know, handling business. He can feel however he wants to feel with the organization or whatever his current situation is. But the other 14 guys in the locker room have done nothing to him. So for us to be on the receiving end of some of the, you know, disrespectful comments and antics, it's completely unfair to us. Like I said, we've done nothing to him. We've only showed up to work just like everybody else and came in ready to work. So, like I said, it's completely unfair to the rest of the guys in the locker room.
I appreciate that Boogie is willing to stump for himself, John Wall, and his teammates. Not every teammate would come out and say that about someone that was still on their roster at the time. And let's just say, for the sake of argument, I don't think it will. But what if he doesn't pass a physical and the trade doesn't go through? Or somebody doesn't pass a physical and the trade falls through? Boogie was willing to speak publicly about the disrespect, the antics, and the way that Harden is treating the other guys in the locker room who've done nothing to him. It's supposed to be business, right? You don't mix business and your issues with the front office with the guys in the locker room that you have to play with. But the two clearly became mixed a lot. One more piece of audio that I want you to hear. This actually went viral on Wednesday, and I still can't listen to it without laughing, but also I don't know if all Nets fans feel this way, but I do know that this was in the immediate aftermath. So let me set it up for you. Carton and Roberts is an afternoon show on our New York affiliate, WFAN. And the news broke while Carton and Roberts are on the air. Evan Roberts, who you will hear screaming in a second, Evan is a huge Nets fan. So keep in mind, this is coming from someone who loves the Brooklyn Nets as he's finding out about the trade.
Oh boy.
The Nets got James Harden.
Breaking news, everybody. My first reaction is shock, awe, and I'm pissed off. That's my first reaction.
That's your
you
first
wanna
one?
Capture it? Want to take a picture? That's my first reaction. I'm ticked off.
They did get something. They get James Harden.
Great.
Dribble, 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 dribble. Fat, fat, fat. Dribble, dribble, dribble. No defense, no defense, no defense. Shoot. Oh, a foul's called. He's going to the line.
All right. Dave can't hear that without crying. Every single time we play that audio, producer Dave starts crying because he's laughing so hard. I just don't think it's fair that a guy talk show host can call another dude fat. If I did that, if I called an athlete fat, do you know the kind of backlash I would take? It's okay. It's a double standard is all I'm saying. There's no way that I could sit in this chair and be like, yo, James Harden, you're fat, 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 fat. Right, Dave? I feel as though it's not a little. I know life is not fair, but that's really not fair.
Agreed. And let's test it out. James Harden, you're fat.
Stop it! You represent my show, so I wouldn't call someone fat. I can't believe that's his reaction.
I can't listen to that with it. I'm literally crying tears out of my right eye at the moment. I love it.
Why?
Because it's an absolutely on. I don't love that he's calling him fat and criticizing him. I love the passion, the instantaneous reaction on the air in the middle of his show. And he's such a passionate fan. And for the listeners personally, knowing Evan Roberts, it's interesting to get that perspective and knowing that that is 100% really how he feels.
In this video, there's a video that goes along with it. If you haven't seen it, in fact, if you want to retweet it from our show account, you can. But yeah, Evan Roberts on our New York affiliate, WFAN, as he's finding out about the Harden trade. So I would say not all Nets fans are on board. Not all Nets fans believe that this is a great idea. I think it's awesome for Caris LeVert. that he has a fresh start, that he's maybe out from underneath the shadow of this group because he's a budding superstar and more people need to see him play. Victor Oladipo ends up in Houston. He's dealt with some injuries, but the Rockets also get some picks. Now it's convoluted. They're swapping picks. There's picks every other year. It's I'm not going to read it all to you, but it took a lot of finagling by the Rockets to get this done. And honestly, for a player of Harden's caliber, at least on one end of the court, they didn't get what they could have gotten, say, 2 years ago when they tried to trade him. But it's because Harden wanted out, and he was determined to get his way. And that's a piece of this I just have a hard time stomaching.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Here's Harris working into the paint, got it stripped, gets it back, out to Jordan. He'll hand to Durant. Durant, quick move to the foul line with a pull-up, and it's good. Oh, it's so pretty from Kevin Durant. He's got 26 as the Nets are in complete control at Madison Square Garden.
Basketball is about playing together and being the best you can be. So no matter who you are, it's about finding that connectivity and balance within a team and trying to be greater than the sum of your parts. So that doesn't change no matter what your team looks like. And that's definitely a goal and a threat of our team from day one.
Follow Amy Lawrence on Twitter after hours or anytime. Her Twitter handle is at A-Law Radio.
The voice of one Steve Nash, who sounds much calmer and in his element when he's actually talking about basketball. And he certainly understands meshing star players, their games, their personalities. But that's how he's going to be judged in Brooklyn. It may not be his fault if this group doesn't pan out and if they don't end up fulfilling expectations. Brooklyn's got a big three, and Steve Nash is the one who is expected to manage the egos, manage the playing time, manage the shots. But it's a kind of a catch-22, right? If they don't listen to him and they see him more as their buddy instead of their coach, he's certainly not a Greg Popovich type of a personality or Greg Popovich type of, I don't want to say dictator because that's not fair, but he's not that type of an authority figure. He's going to be judged on how this group does. And he's been handed a hornet's nest. It is interesting, as I'm even now looking at the replay of Nets and Knicks on TV in my studio, that Mike D'Antoni is sitting right next to Steve Nash. So Mike D'Antoni, of course, who was let go by Houston and ends up on the bench in Brooklyn. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I wish I knew the answer to that. Did that happen before or after James Harden demanded a trade to Brooklyn? Took a little while for it to pan out. You hear the call on the Nets radio network as Kevin Durant and the missing Kyrie Irving now have a new teammate. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Jeff Green is a veteran on that Nets team. He's been around. He's seen pretty much everything there is to see in the NBA.
He's going to do what he does best. And I think it'd be good for us, but I don't look at it as a restart. You know, it's just another juice of energy that we're going to get from, you know, him being on the floor and being part of this team.
Oh, boy.
The Nets got James Harden. Breaking news, everybody.
Oh! My first reaction is shock, awe, and I'm pissed off. That's my first reaction.
That's your
you
first
wanna
one?
You want to capture it? Want to take a picture? That's my first reaction.
No.
I'm ticked off.
They did get something. They get James Harden.
Great.
Dribble, 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 dribble. Fat, fat, fat. Dribble, dribble, dribble. No defense, no defense. New defense. Shoot. Oh, a foul's called. He's going to the line.
I sincerely hope that the news of the James Harden trade did not ruin your day the way that it did ruin the day of Evan Roberts on Wednesday on our New York affiliate WFAN. So his reaction was a little more agitated than Jeff Green's, who seemed much calmer about the whole thing. Rip Hamilton's a former NBA champ himself, and he kind of feels like the onus is on Harden to fit in.
He has to respect Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant is probably going to be the best player on that ball club. hands down. I mean, when you're coming into a situation, he already has a relationship with KD, playing with him in OKC. You got a premier point guard in Kyrie Irving, a guy that James Harden respects. You got a former MVP coach in Steve Nash, who hired Mike D'Antonio, who James Harden, who's very familiar with, a guy that he was trying to get back to, so to be underneath that realm. But I just think that when you got the type of the pieces and players on that team, you got guys defensively that's willing to buy in. James is coming to a new situation. He understands that, hey, you know what? When he retires and he looks at his career, he want to be considered as one of the best. And a lot of times how we measure one of the best in our game is how many championships you win, not how many scoring titles you got, not how many times you've been to the All-Star game, but how many championships did you win. So I think this is a situation where he goes to this team, he knows that he has to buy in for him to get that goal.
There is that. I hate the way he forced his way out of Houston. I can't stand it. That to me is, it's unprofessional, it's irresponsible, and it's, as Boogie Cousins called it, disrespectful to the guys who you're standing out there on the court with, you're lining up with. But maybe he'll be motivated now, and I'm not sure it's redeeming, but he could see this as one of his last opportunities to win a title. He's going to have to get in shape, and he's going to have to figure out how to play with Kevin Durant again. Remember, they were together much earlier in their career in Oklahoma City with Russell Westbrook. But the reboot with Russ didn't work. The Kyrie piece, I'm not sure about. So again, haven't we heard Kyrie talk about how he's always been the best last shot option on his team? I don't know. I feel like the three of them could have a pretty healthy debate. He might be the third last shot option on his team now, at least in the eyes of James Harden. So I don't know how motivated you can be and still figure out how to share all of the shots. Jody on Facebook says the NBA can do some crazy stuff. Maybe KD will teach him to play defense. Well, I don't think he doesn't know how to play defense. I think it's that he doesn't have a desire to play defense. It does, in fact, cost a lot of effort, you know. Andrew on Facebook, they're not going to be good in the long run. One ball, three ball hogs won't work. Hey, if I'm Kevin Durant, or I play with Kevin Durant, I don't mind him being a ball hog because he's the best. He's one of the best players in the NBA and really does look great after coming off the Achilles injury. But if you're James Harden and Kyrie, how do you fit in? How does this group fit together? The NBA, they don't worry about this till after. They just want to play with their BFFs. All right, we'll take your calls, 855-212-4227, but also we're going to pivot a little bit to football. We've got your TD of the Week reveal, and we've got the powers that be in Chicago talking about their quarterback moving forward.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the pylon. Touchdown!
1 minute to beat 10. He's gone!
They throw in the end zone. Touchdown! Hey, the guy missed. He's inside the five. He's to the 3-2-1. Touchdown! Southern Zelting into the end zone. Touchdown!
The people have spoken, and one score stands above the rest. Here is your TD of the week. The Baltimore Ravens.
Steps up, pocket collapsing, he escapes. He's to the 40-yard line, 35, 30, Lamar Jackson to the 20, leg raise, 10, 5. And he's pushed out of bounds at the 1-yard line. No, signal is touchdown, Lamar Jackson. On 3rd and 9, he takes it to the house. And the Ravens an extra point away from tying it up.
My guys, you know, just came up to me. You know, we got your back. You know, I was telling them the same thing. But, you know, I wasn't shying away from the game at all. You know, after the turnover, I just locked in even more. And, you know, we just battled. You know, we just came out with a victory.
It was the first time in 4 years the Baltimore Ravens have rallied from a double-figure deficit to win a football game. But they did it on the playoff stage, wild card round on the road in Nashville. And that was the spark, a 48-yard touchdown run by the Flash, Lamar Jackson. And he was gone before anybody could figure out what was going on. And I love that he just said, well, it just happened to be a touchdown run. I found some space. It just happened to be a touchdown. Your choice for TD of the week, the call with Jerry Sandusky on the Ravens Radio Network. Thank you for all of your votes on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We had some really impressive candidates. In fact, Devontae Smith, his third touchdown from the national championship on Monday, and then Carl Joseph, the fumble recovery on what was the first snap of the game for the Pittsburgh Steelers, put the Cleveland Browns on the board in 14 seconds. Those were some worthy candidates as well, and we always appreciate the football discussion. And now we'll look forward into another playoff weekend. In fact, our final show of the week will be all about Duff football. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. I kind of feel bad because the news of the James Harden trade really upstaged what was the start of another sports season on Wednesday.
Down over the pass, goes off a leg, bouncing to the far side. Matthews up on the wing for Tavares. The captain is in across the line. Tavares going to the net for the pass, and they score! Morgan Rielly wins the game in overtime.
That is the call on the Toronto Maple Leafs radio network, a 5-4 victory over the Montreal Canadiens. Joe Boehm with the call. So we wanted to drop a little hockey in, but man, that's wrong. How are you going to do them like that? It's the first night of the NHL with its shortened season, and they've got all of their arenas shiny and new and clean and ready to go. And hours before the puck drops, the news of James Harden's trade to Brooklyn breaks and just completely pulls the rug out from underneath the hockey. It's just a shame. Although I suspect that those of you who love hockey found your way to follow it anyway. The Tampa Bay Lightning, by the way, with a big victory to start defense of their Stanley Cup championship. Let's talk to Ron, who's in Charlotte. Ron, welcome to After Hours.
Great show, Amy. Love listening to you.
Thank you.
Just a comment on the Kyrie Irving deal. We need more owners like Jerry Jones that says, if you don't stand, I won't write you a check, and we might get something done.
Well, I, first of all, haven't heard many people say we need more owners like Jerry Jones in a really long time. And I'm confident that that has nothing at all to do with the James Harden trade, honestly.
Agree. But if you didn't show up for your job and I didn't show up for my job, we wouldn't have a job.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little different when if you're talking about Kyrie, when the $34 million is guaranteed, right? I mean, that's really where these players have the franchises over the barrel. Because if Kyrie does not play another game this season, now depending on the reasons, if it's mental health, if it's personal, I mean, right now they're paying him to not be there. Do you know he makes nearly $500,000 a game?
Right. Well, you mentioned a while ago spoiled brats. Yeah, well, we've got plenty of those in the NBA.
Well, I mean, there's plenty of those in the United States of America. It's not limited to the National Basketball Association. And I don't think that James Harden is like that all the time, which is the part that bothers me. Generally, he is all basketball. He's focused. He's in shape. He's locked in. He is doing what is best for the team. So this it seems out of character for him. And it's unfortunate that this is the side of him we're seeing simply because he wanted his own way. I mean, that to me is blah, blah.
I agree. They shouldn't get their own way, no way. But it's a team concept, it's not a me concept.
that's true. Well, now it can be a team concept in Houston because Boogie Cousins, John Wall, some of the others who are left behind, it seems like they actually are going to be happier now and feel like they've got a better locker room atmosphere without James Harden there, because they certainly weren't thrilled with the way things had started out. Ron, thanks so much for your phone call. We appreciate you listening in Charlotte. Happy New Year to you. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. I appreciate Boogie Cousins, like I say, standing up for his teammates, for John Wall, for the rest of the guys who are going to work every night and battling through all the protocols and saying, okay, it's worth it for us to play. And being honest that this is disrespectful and unprofessional. And when Boogie points to someone else's antics, you know that there is a problem. Hey, we just mentioned, this is a perfect tie, perfect segue, just mentioned Houston and talking about Houston sports. And we had a guy who called earlier who was just fit to be tied about the fact that it's not a dumpster fire in Houston sports. It's actually a total dump truck that is on fire, cruising downhill to a disastrous crash. And so he was really needing to vent. And I tried to talk him down from the ledge a little bit. But not only does James Harden find his way out of town, but now Bill O'Brien goes from being the coach and general manager in Houston, ruining the Texans roster, at least as much as he could possibly, to now getting a job as the offensive coordinator for the Alabama Crimson Tide. And Nick Saban was talking about Bill O'Brien, and they've known each other, but talking about his resume and why he feels like he's a good fit for the Tide.
And I think he did a really good job, you know, in Houston when he was the head coach. I think when he became the general manager, you know, maybe, you know, things didn't go exactly like he would have liked, trying to have both roles. But maybe, having been a head coach in that league, I know how difficult it is to do both of those things, probably impossible. So based on the body of work up until then, I think he's an outstanding coach and a really good person. He's got a great family, and I think he'll do a great job with our players here. I've always tried to have the best knowledge and experience I can for our players and their development, and I certainly think he can contribute to that in a very positive way.
So he's left a bit of a mess in Houston on his way out of town, but Bill O'Brien lands on his feet, if you will, as the new offensive coordinator of the Alabama Crimson Tide. And he certainly did have some success before this past year. Remember, he had four division titles in 5 years, and offensively, they had some good pieces. And they still need to work on that offensive line always, but really, the trades that he made because he was looking down the road as a general manager, worried about, can we sign this guy? Can we sign that guy? Is it going to be too expensive? Or we're going to be up against the salary cap? And now Deshaun Watson is upset. And this Houston sports fan, when he called, was really worried that Deshaun Watson was going to do the same thing and try to force his way out of town. But I don't think that's Deshaun. Deshaun is always come across as very professional, very grateful for his job, very appreciative of the Houston Texans franchise, and also really loves his teammates, and they respect him, and he is the leader in the face of the franchise. And as bad as things were this year with the Texans, he still went out there and played his arse off and had one of his best seasons ever. So I don't believe he's the kind of guy that will show up overweight, out of shape to camp, or not show up at all, that will demand a trade out. I don't think that's the kind of guy that Deshaun Watson is. But we'll see. Certainly in Houston, there's got to be some feelings of being unsettled around the Texans. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I don't happen to think the Texans have a quarterback problem. They may have a quarterback who's upset, and I think they need to do some work to try to smooth things over with him. Some conversations, some misunderstandings and miscommunications definitely took place, and I can understand why Deshaun is upset. But I don't think they should trade him. I mean, he's cheaper than most starting QBs, and he's great. He's an elite starting QB. In Chicago, they don't have that same security because Mitch Trubisky is now a free agent, though he wants to stay in Chicago. We know that Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace are staying as the coach and the general manager. Well, their chairman, George McCaskey, is keeping them around, but is putting them on notice, putting really the franchise on notice that they've got to do better at the QB spot.
It's pretty clear we need better production from the quarterback position. in order to be successful.
Are you confident they can deliver that for you in 21?
Yes, we are.
So George is giving the dreaded vote of confidence, I'm being somewhat sarcastic, but the vote of confidence to Pace and to Nagy and not making the changes there. And you wonder if that would have been the case if they hadn't won three of their last four regular season games and made the playoffs. But as his video conference went on, George continued to say he thinks this duo can lead them back to the contention.
I think it's the way they collaborate. Matt's been involved in player personnel decisions since he's arrived here. Of course, Ryan has final say on the selection and roster decisions, but it's how well they work together. Like I said, they have vigorous discussions, and we think that their collaboration will result in the right decisions for the Bears.
Right now, we don't even know which quarterbacks are going to be available. All of them. We have a sample size. There certainly will be a few veterans like a Cam Newton, maybe an Andy Dalton, depending on how quickly Dak is healing and what the Cowboys do at that position. But I don't know that Andy Dalton wants to stay as a lower paid backup. There will be guys available potentially via trade, like a Carson Wentz, like a Sam Darnold, depending on what the Jets do in the draft. I've started to hear some of the theories that the Jets should pick Devontae Smith at number two and should keep Sam Darnold as their quarterback. And there's also lots of talk about who they might have as their head coach. I've heard Doug Peterson floated out there a bunch, though he's kind of been attached to several different jobs. I mean, this is it's going to be fascinating to see the quarterback carousel and how it moves and which guys become available and which teams snap them up very quickly. But that's going to have to wait until after we get through this divisional weekend. So our next show, our final show of the work week, will be all about these four games coming up, and we'll hear from Devontae Adams, and we'll hear from Lamar Jackson and why he doesn't want to play in the snow. We'll hear from some of the movers and shakers as we get set for what I always consider to be the best weekend of football on the calendar. But then there's this. Oh no, this feeling of dread afterwards, right? Because you're down to just three games after this weekend. So enjoy it, peeps. It's the perfect sample size, four games and the top seeds that will return to play. In the meantime, keep digesting the trade. Keep digesting this new triumvirate in Brooklyn. Let's see how this works out. There's sure to be some more reaction coming up on Thursday. Have a great day. We'll talk to you tonight after hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.